Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now though, have you begun engaging with the upcoming presidential election yet? Well, yesterday evening, Brian O'Connell was in the St. Luke's and Blackpool areas of Cork asking people their thoughts on that very question.
I'm a lefty liberal.
So I'd imagine you were happy enough with Michael Dee's presidency?
Oh yeah. The sense of who we are is very important. We can be tossed around as a very small place, very small society. If we have a sense of where we're going, or who we are, it's important.
And if that sense is channeled through the presidency, you mean it gives us a fixed point? Is that what you mean?
Well, I think it's the one place that is above the normal parliamentary to and fro.
It's interesting because sometimes we hear quite dismissively it's described as a ceremonial role, but you feel it's a lot more than that.
But sure, we love ceremony. I mean, I certainly like the cut and thrust of Catherine Connolly, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm. Is it important that the parties would put forward a candidate?
What they do is always looking at, well, what's good for us and what's that, and, you know, yes, they should, and there should be plenty of candidates.
Well, it's definitely interesting.
Are you in your 20s?
Yes.
You're in your
20s? I'm 23.
Okay. So this will be your first time voting in a presidential election?
Yes. Because Michael Dee's been president for most of my adult life, I've never quite thought about it as much. But now with the elections coming up, it's definitely something I'm like looking into more and more.
Is gender important to you in terms of the office holder?
Not as much in the sense of it would as it would mean for like the Taoiseach or and people like them to be, because I mean we've had female presidents before.
So you'll be following it keenly, will you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So because there is a feeling as well that there's apathy amongst the younger generation in relation to politics, but you don't think so?
There definitely is to a certain extent. We're at the age now where we can try and make a difference ourselves. So.
Presidency?
I have no interest, man.
Do you think it matters who we elect as president?
I've never voted.
You won't be voting in this election,
probably
so.
Won't be voting this election. I mean, they're all the same if you ask me, like, you know.
Do you follow politics?
I do in a small way, yeah. Do you know, who we put out there represents our country, you know. So, for me, you know, sporting events, big events for the country, I think it's very important, yeah.
So far we've heard one or two candidates have declared. Well, Catherine Connolly has declared, this talk of Mairead McGuinness.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't have any tuppence in on, you know, names or whatever, but, you know, the candidates that have gone forward in the past have always represented the country very well.
What about Mary Lou MacDonald?
She's got a very strong character, yeah, absolutely. You know, I wouldn't...
You're keeping your cards very close to your chest.
Absolutely, yeah.
You will be voting.
You know, it's the same old story. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice.
Well, that's true. Brian O'Connell there speaking with the people in Cork City last night. And the latest entrant into the race, Catherine Connolly, is going to formally launch her campaign this week. But how many others can we expect to enter the field? Well, joining me now in the studio to discuss how events might unfold in the coming weeks is Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent, and Gary Murphy, who's Professor of Politics at the School of Law and Government in DCU. Both welcome. Lovely to have you with us.
Hi, Claire.
So, Fionnán, you can hear there from what Brian was hearing in Cork that people are beginning to engage with the campaign in a certain way now, but people are talking about the importance of the office itself. I mean, people do see this, voters see this as an important, in the main, as an important job.
Yeah, and its status, I suppose, has been elevated over the course of, say, the last 35 years since Mary Robinson was elected, in that it has made it into a sort of a different type of more firmly ambassadorial role than merely one for an elder statesman who's, you know, near retirement. So that does matter to people then as a result. I was talking to a Labour Party strategist who was working on Michael D. Higgins' campaign back in 2011, and he said it was very simple. People just wanted to be clear that the person they elected won't embarrass you abroad. Once you're happy that this person is going to represent the country, they won't do nothing that'll make you go, oh, Jesus Christ, what is he doing there? Then that's kind of a measure of what a middle-ranking voter will look at. But we have to bear in mind, it's early days yet. Mm-hmm. I know we're in the thrust of July, but look back to Mary McAleese. She was elected as president on October the 30th, the day before Halloween 1997. She didn't become the candidate until the middle of September, less than 6 weeks out. So we're still a long way off. This issue of candidates declaring very early, either in the spring or the summer, it's a relatively new phenomenon, and it's not necessarily one that has always been in their best interest.
But Gary, it does feel like there's a bit of momentum now after Catherine Connolly's announcement on Friday.
And Fionnuala is right in relation to early declarations and the like. It's only really since 2011 that you had some of the independent candidates come out pretty early in the early summer. And the same in 2018. But certainly know that Catherine Connolly has thrown her hat in the ring and will certainly be on the ballot. She does have the numbers in relation to Oireachtas members. You need 20. She'll have the Sock Dems, and she'll have enough, if you have people before profit, and enough sort of left-wing independents to get on the ballot without the Labour Party. And I suppose the big question for her and for Labour is whether Labour is willing to throw its lot in behind what many in the party see in as an apostate who left the party, like many others on the left did, over really internal sort of squabbles and the like. And Catherine Connolly would love a two-contest person, her against Mairead McGuinness, left versus right. Now, that might be simplistic, but that's what she would want. But, I mean, I think we will certainly have a Sinn Féin candidate. But, yeah, there is certainly now a momentum with, I think Mairead McGuinness is almost certainly going to be the Fine Gael candidate. So now that we know who two of the candidates will be, the question... Are Fianna Fáil going to jump and have a candidate? And I think Sinn Féin certainly will have one.
And what do you think the Labour Party will do? Because they have to decide now, don't they, whether they back Catherine Connolly or go with someone else.
Well, indeed. And apparently the leader, Ivana Bacic, is supposed to be, according to some of the opinion pieces over the weekend and some of the, if you know, we'll know this better than me, maybe the political gossip, is keen on a Catherine Connolly candidacy, doesn't have the historical baggage that perhaps some others in Labour might have with her. You could see why Labour would do it, and it would certainly give a boost, I think, to Catherine Connolly. And I look beyond Ivana Bacic and I don't see a candidate within Labour, and I'm not convinced. And remember, Mary Robinson was outside the Labour tent when it nominated her way back in 1990. Our politics has changed so dramatically. I don't see who else they could possibly nominate who would have a chance. So my suspicion is they might ruin behind
What
her.
Are you hearing, Phil?
Do they end up sitting it out? I mean, that's their difficulty now. If they don't back Catherine Connolly, well, then who else? This Ivana Bacic was the one who was advocating this idea of a unified left-wing candidate. Now, that's collapsed a bit. Sinn Féin seem to be making it quite clear they're taking their time. They will be going through their own process. We'll get back to you in late summer, early autumn. So clearly, at this point in time, they're not going with Catherine Connolly. And I thought it was significant last week that Catherine Connolly confirmed she was going when we knew that the Social Democrats and People Before Profit and some independents were backing her, but that Labour wasn't behind her. So she was literally sending the signal, I'm going whether you're behind me
or not.
And I have the numbers without you. So you can sit this one out or you can weigh in behind her. And you'd have to say at the moment, if in the absence of a fully united left-wing candidate, well then, in terms of the smaller parties on the left-wing, she seems to be the only show in town at this stage. So that's the issue that Labour have got now. Do they try and come up with their own candidate and then try to be flailing around the place getting a nomination for this person they seem to be approaching and talking to an awful lot of people, everybody from Mike Ryan to Joe Duffy has been associated with them. But there's no firm name there that you would say that person will likely be the Labour Party candidate.
And more parties who decide on who their candidate's going to be. So Fine Gael will be Mairead McGuinness most likely. Then you have, if Labour go in behind Catherine Connolly, Sock Dems, the route for other candidates who have expressed an interest becomes rockier, becomes more difficult to secure a nomination, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, but... as it should. I mean, you should. There should be a bar set here, and you'd argue that that bar was lowered over the last couple of presidential elections. There were some people getting on tickets simply because they appeared on TV a few times. There was nothing about their
public
record.
But they still got the nominations. They got their three councils or their 20
public councils. You need four councils, and a council can only nominate one candidate. So you need four councils or 20 members of the Oireachtas. So the bar is moderately high, maybe one might say. But the trouble now with the councils and the council route is that since the local elections of this time last year, basically June of 2019, many of those local councils are dominated by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And whether a strong independent candidate could persuade four of them to give that person the nomination, I think becomes very, very doubtful. I mean, I give people like, obviously, Conor McGregor no chance. I give Peter Casey very little chance. I mean, I think Peter Casey mm-hmm. really would want to have a look at what happened to Sean Gallagher. Polled very well, you know, in 2011. Maybe a week ago was the strong favourite, but then, you know, collapsed completely in 2018, getting 6.4% down from, he got 28.5%, I think, in 2011. Casey got 23%, 23.3% in 2018. But, you know, look at what happened to him in the general election. Like, he ran in two constituencies. He lost his deposit in both. He could barely get two votes. Uh-huh. And one of them was probably from himself. So in that context, I give any of those figures, I don't give them much of a chance of getting on.
But it's very hard if you're outside,
it is.
You know, the main political parties. It's very hard to get a nomination.
But apart from those who were nominated last time by getting the four councils, you had a number of others who went down that route and either failed to get any councils or didn't get enough. So there was something like, I think, 16 councils ultimately last time out. Nominated somebody, but not all of them made it onto the ticket because they couldn't get enough. And, you know, there has to be some sort of measure. You can't just let anybody decide to, you know, have 100 names on the ballot paper for becoming president. This is the head of state. It's the highest office in the land. There should be some hurdle that you have to overcome here to get on the ticket. There will be a row later in the autumn, where somebody who is a what you would consider a far right candidate will argue that the establishment is blocking me from running and they won't let me and they're preventing people from having a choice. But, you know, the political parties can deal with that at that point.
Will the diktat go down from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in the councils? This is who you're supporting and nobody else.
Yeah, well, I mean, it does make sense as well that if a political party is weighing in behind their own candidate, well, then why are you going off nominating somebody else? If other parties want to do so, then let them off.
Yeah, what happened in 2011 and 2018 and even back in 97 is it's a councillor invite a candidate to come in and speak to the councillors and try to persuade them to vote that the council would then give the nomination to the returning officer and the person would get on the ballot with four of them. But, you know, the local election results of last year, which were good, moderately good, certainly for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, have given us councils dominated now by those two parties. And in that context, I fail to see how a...
Beware of diktats.
Yeah, diktats are banned. Councils do get, you know, they get a bit nervous about that, certainly.
You could have a few councils deciding, them fellas up in Dublin aren't going to tell me what to do. And you could get a couple of nominations coming about by that route. But it has to be somebody who will mobilise.
In the case of Fianna Fáil, do the fellas in Dublin know what they're going to do? Like, what is going to happen there?
Yeah, well, I mean, with all the best will in the world, I think Mary Hannafin, Patrick Cope Gallagher, Peter Power, none of them would really excite the electorate. And Fianna Fáil does have an issue. It hasn't run a candidate since Mary McAleese in 1997. It stayed out in 2011 in the aftermath of its collapse in the general election. It also stayed out in 2018. So that's a long time since it's fought an election. Mary Hannafin will always have this sort of economic crash over her head. And beyond the current leader of the party, it's very difficult to see who might excite the electorate.
Now, I haven't heard Bertie Ahern's name mentioned in the last couple of weeks.
The thing about Bertie Ahern is he last ran for office in the 2007 general election. There are people who will vote in October, November, who weren't even born when he last ran for office, and who he's a man who means, although I have great admiration for him, as you know, means nothing to a whole cadre of voters, including the young woman who spoke on Brian's Vox Pop. And fair play to Brian to get anyone in Cork to talk about anything but hurling and this weekend. And so I just think Bertie Ahern is, yesterday's man, and I can't see how he gets on the ballot at all. And I don't think Fianna Fáil want him on the ballot.
There could be an element of the Sean Kelly effect. You heard Sean Kelly putting his name out there and then at the last minute decide, oh, sure, you know, maybe I won't, where nobody really ever thought he was all that serious. And Bertie Ahern likes having his name out there. That doesn't necessarily mean he's actually going to run. There's an issue there for Fianna Fáil as well, and that is of... Micheál Martin has basically got, he has complete control of his party in effect at this stage. There are very few TDs who are left from the, what you call the Bertie Ahern era. And I think Micheál Martin would be nervous of having a candidate on the ticket who he thinks isn't going to be a firm loyalist to him and to the party and will be espousing their policies, as opposed to somebody who will be going on the ticket and saying, we need a united Ireland, the next president should be campaigning for united Ireland, getting ready for reunification and so on. And that could be an issue as well that he has with Bertie Ahern, apart from the baggage of the crash and the tribunals.
Mm-hmm. So no decision there. On the Fine Gael side then, Mairead McGuinness looks to be their
We'll have a bit of an indication in that tomorrow is the close of nominations. Fine Gael will have to say that they have closed off their nomination process. Mm-hmm. They're trying to leave it at that and basically not fully confirm Mairead McGuinness until September, so that she's not out there as
really?
The official. Yeah, that seems to be the vibe that, you know, they're saying we won't be commenting any further.
But if your process is closed,
yeah, if your process is closed, then there's only one nominee. Yeah, so that's pretty hard to do. I think Mairead plans to go around visiting agricultural shows over the course of the summer and getting pictures taken of her eating ice creams, which is what she does a lot over the years, without necessarily having the spotlight on her as a firmly established candidate. She wants a short campaign as opposed to a long campaign. Mm-hmm.
But you both expect there will be more than two nominees here for Catherine Connolly and Mairead McGuinness.
I was listening to what Mary Lou McDonald said at the start of last week. I was talking to her down in Gorey on Thursday night and listened to what she'd said at a public meeting down there. And it seemed fairly clear that Sinn Féin were going down that route of a candidate whose platform will be on defending neutrality and preparing for a united Ireland. And that whether that's Mary Lou or not, those are core policies for Sinn Féin, and that they will want somebody who can espouse them. And given that she was talking about a process, and given that she was saying this will take quite a considerable period of time from now, and they've got all the options, they seem to be leaning heavily towards their own candidate. And if you look at it, it does make sense. We look at Martin McGuinness's campaign now, and we see it was very controversial, a lot of stuff about the IRA and the troubles brought up with it. They look at it and go, they got more votes than in any other election at that point in that campaign, and they regarded that as a success because
it
broadened their base.
Yeah.
He got 13.7% of the vote, and Leonie Rita got less than half of that, 6.4% in 2018. I mean, it's inconceivable to me that Sinn Féin won't run the candidate. Mairead Farrell got polled 1,500 votes more than Catherine Connolly in the Galway West general election. Is it really feasible that Sinn Féin will throw their lot in with a person who has no real track record, as far as I can tell, on Irish unity, which is Sinn Féin's raison d'etre for existing? Are they going to leave a campaign and all the publicity that would bring for border polls and the like in abeyance? And most importantly at all, are they not going to try and win, as Fionnán put it, the highest office in the land?
Will it be Mary Lou, though? Yeah,
well, if they're serious about winning the presidency, and I suspect they probably are, they will run Mary Lou. And then there was a piece in the Mail yesterday talking about Lynn Boylan and her big Dublin vote. Lynn Boylan pulled behind Regina Doherty and Barry Andrews in the general election, or in the European election, excuse me, Claire, so I don't buy that. And Michelle O'Neill, I think the question in relation to her comments about there was no alternative to the IRA, her family connections to the IRA, I think that would almost rule her out, going back to what happened to Martin McGuinness. And Mary Lou MacDonald has that factor that everybody in the country literally knows who she is. People have no interest in politics
whatsoever.
Tell me,
if it is Mary Lou, what does that do when it comes to Fianna Fáil? Like, what did they do?
High and dry, really, because they've then got two significant figures in the race.
Well,
between
then
you either run
Micheál Martin or you stay out of it.
Yeah, or you run somebody just to be a flag bearer, and Micheál Martin seems to be looking down the Peter Power route. So, you know, it's a very difficult position that Micheál Martin would find himself in if Sinn Féin go down a really heavy-hitting candidate route. And I'm not really seeing the drawbacks of the pitfalls for Sinn Féin of running Mary Lou MacDonald. Is the highest, what's the problem here? She wins. I mean, how is that?
Who leads the party then?
Well, so be it. You move on and you find a new leader. The advantage is you now have got the presidency, and you get a president who follows on from a president who talked about whatever he wanted well outside his remit. There's nothing stopping a Sinn Féin president from talking about United Ireland on quite a regular basis. Mary Lou MacDonald has a distinct advantage over Mairead McGuinness in that she has been on the domestic political agenda now for 20 odd years. Mm-hmm. Everything has been thrown at her at this point.
And what sense did you get from her on Thursday when you were talking to her?
Kind of still seemed to be humming and hawing about it. The sense at the meeting was there were people actually saying at the meeting that it's got Mary Lou for president was getting a good positive response.
Yeah.
That people would like to see her, party supporters would like to see her as their candidate. I heard Oona Brin say last week that her personal view still remains the same, that she doesn't want to be the candidate, but maybe she can be persuaded to
probably,
be so.
She probably wants to be Taoiseach, but like if I really gaze into my crystal ball and look at the 2029 general election, I still find it difficult for Sinn Féin to lead a so-called left alliance with her at the top of it.
And when they can't even agree on a presidential candidate.
But also, I mean, the prize would be so great, as Fionnán says, the opportunity to talk about Irish unity literally every day. There would be rows with the government. She might be a bit bored, but she'd get used to it pretty quickly. And she would look at Michael D. Higgins's presidency, which as it the longer it went on, the more controversial, and I don't even think it was that controversial, but the more pronounced he became about things that interested him, international affairs, neutrality, and his sort of when he started giving out about the government's consulted a forum on defence and security.
But everyone let him at it, which it'll be interesting
to
see.
Housing and the like.
How that works.
But if
it's
Sinn Féin really sees the prize is so great, there's only one candidate they can run with the expectation that she would give them a very good chance. She wouldn't be a shoo-in by any matter of means, certainly not. And it would depend. I mean, is it feasible that Fianna Fáil would throw themselves in behind Mairead McGuinness, a government candidate? I think that would probably be a stretch too far, but you know, you'd never know. I'm thinking MacDonald presidency or MacDonald candidacy would really, I think, make things very lively for you, Claire, over the next few months.
Yeah, but here's the difference. So Mary Lou MacDonald, Gerry Adams, IRA, the Troubles, atrocities, sex abuse in the Republican movement, Jonathan Dowdall, senators resigning for unknown reasons, so on and so forth. It's all been put to her over the years.
She's
had to deal with it all,
questions.
Whether she's dealt with it adequately or not. It's all been put to her. Mairead McGuinness has been in Brussels for the last 21 years, has never had to deal with any domestic agenda issues around budgets, around social policy, around public services. When social and political issues have come up within Fine Gael or in social changes in Ireland, such as the abortion referendum, she hasn't exactly been a frontline campaigner on these issues. In fact, she's often been quite difficult to pin down where she stands.
In fairness, the last couple of years, she's EU commissioner. It's a whole different job, different remit.
That's fine.
You know?
That's fine. Oh, no. Hold on now. She was also the most partisan European commissioner I've ever come across. I've never seen a European commissioner campaign for their party as much as she did in last year's local and European elections. So Mairead McGuinness chooses to be political.
I think
when
she gave
wants
a speech, but I mean,
and finally, Claire,
she was allowed to do that.
She
right?
was allowed
no,
to do that.
There's no rule there to say she couldn't do that.
In fairness, when previous European commissioners have gone into the job, they have kind of adopted a view. I have to kind of take a step back from domestic politics now and kind of stay away from the party. Where Mairead McGuinness was out front line campaigning for Fine Gael.
And the other thing about Fine Gael is they have a woeful record in presidential elections. Austin Curry was merely an afterthought in the 1990 election, which became a kind of a contest between Brian Lennon and Mary Robinson. Gay Mitchell remarkably to me anyway, got 6.4%. 7 months after Fine Gael got 76 seats in a general election, and with a few days to go, people were talking about potential of an overall majority. Fine Gael are woeful at presidential elections, and I'm not sure Mairead McGuinness is the candidate to rectify that.
All right, well, listen, it is kicking off and it's getting very interesting. Thank you both, Fionnán and Gary. We'll take a break. Marty Morrissey is going to be here after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.